Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, my friend and colleague Azevedo, ladies and gentlemen, excellencies. It's a pleasure for me to join you on an occasion like this, reflecting on the work of LDCs and the work of WTO and how much it has mutually reinforced over the past 20 years. As many of you might know, we at UNCTAD hold a special pride about LDC because it is UNCTAD which introduced to the multilateral process the recommendation that a special category be created called least developed countries. And therefore, we in a way feel proud that we are your ancestors in recognition of this category. And in my remarks about this celebration, I'll also come back to the pros and the cons of that effort of recognizing a unique category of the least developed countries to which we are reflecting now. As Azevedo mentioned, I think the LDCs have been among the most significant beneficiaries of the multilateral trade rulemaking system, you know, in terms of getting on board and getting to ride the challenges of global trade opening up. And the statistics are very clear about how this has come down the road over the 20 years. One, that as a category, the LDCs have been the most open of all the societies as category of countries within the multilateral system. And this reflects a very substantial success in the work of WTO in helping structured integration, at least at a mechanical level. And the reflections of dramatic expansion as a percentage of exports, export trade, which was referred to, is part of the evidence of this openness. In fact, at 45%, the LDCs remain the most open of all societies. But also they reflect a certain reality that there is no one-to-one relationship between getting more open and getting more successful. That while there has been a substantial expansion in export trade, which is directly related to this openness, there are other impediments and challenges as to how much the multilateral trading system has contributed or stands to contribute to the fundamental sophistication and growth of LDCs to graduate out of that category. In our work as an organization, we work closely both with the WTO in preparing LDC countries for accession to WTO, as many of you know. But more, even more importantly to us, we see the preparation for accession as part of building the momentum towards graduation from LDC status. And that means how the process of structured opening up, how the process of integration can be an enabler for growing domestic productive capacity, structural transformation, and sustaining a momentum to avoid the trap of both LDC and low income. In our years of associating with this, we have noted a number of things. First, of course, is the substantial, significant expansion of export growth, which Roberto just referred to, like export growth from a mere $25 billion at the start of this century to $164 billion by the end of 2013. That's a more than a six-fold expansion in export growth and something very commendable, way above global averages. But it comes with a number of challenges. For us, the two main challenges are, one, while there has been a market expansion of both export growth and manufactured or value-added export growth, in net terms, the share of LDCs of global manufactured export has declined. Two, related to that, is that the significant expansion of value-added export has really been dominated by textile manufacture, which remains vulnerable to challenges of eroded market access, as I'll mention a bit later. But a related matter for us is over-dependence on commodities, set of commodities, whose statistic over the past 15 or so years is substantially made look rosy because of their unique momentum built in East Asia as importers of commodities, sustaining a boom even in the very difficult years globally. The attendant challenge is what has happened in the recent past with the slowing down of China, with very, very substantial challenges, almost politically threatening challenges to countries like Zambia and Venezuela because of vulnerability of depending on a small set of commodities and the inadequate organic integration of those sectors of that commodity into the rest of the economy. Our sense is that the challenge for the LDCs going forward is not to doubt the importance of the strides so made in integration, but to start finding coherence both domestically in policy and in dealing with partners on how do we, one, diversify the economies, and two, have smart coherence between innovation and technology, improving productivity of labor, investing in productive capacity in terms of the coherence between research, education system, and technology policies in a way that structurally transforms these economies, which we think is absolutely a minimum for graduating into sustained prosperity. I say this because over the next 15 years, as we all focus on Agenda 2030, an assumption of relevance in all multilateral initiatives on development is that you contribute to the pursuit of zero tolerance to extreme poverty, that inclusive prosperity is at the core of your work. Our multilateral rule-making system and multilateral trade that is enabled by these rules will be measured by how much it contributes to Agenda 2030. Possibilities exist from what we have seen happen. The evidence of some countries which have used trade to grow out of poverty, that sound policies and an effective combination of efficient markets and effective states can be critical in turning the promise of prosperity into a reality. But a number of threats remain in the way also. First, how do we move from the current 1.17% of global trade to the 2% that is promised in the Istanbul Program of Action by 2020? If you look at the momentum we have with the slowing commodity markets and the cyclic boom-bust history of recent past, it is very, very difficult to be optimistic that the Istanbul Agenda program of a program of action of reaching 2% of export trade as a percentage for LDCs will be realized at all in 2020. Similarly, that 50% of the LDCs will graduate from that status around the same time, which also relates to another issue going forward about the LDC category, that while we see momentum building from integration in international trade and building productive capacities important at home, the hostility of the environment into which you graduate out of LDCs has to start being part of the agenda of discussion. You look at small island states and some of the countries like Ghana and Kenya, which graduated out of LDC status, they will tell you, you know, first of all, graduation is very good, but you have to be clear about what you're becoming after you become a graduate. Is the removal of certain preferences that you enjoyed, accompanied by certain other market access capabilities or dynamics that make you celebrate graduation? Or you just become like a graduate in the third world who graduates to unemployment after years of schooling. Similarly, the erosion that has been felt in some of the main areas that have been advantages of being LDCs has to be part of the discourse. If you look at the history of multilateral trading and LDC's engagement, it has been founded on the enabling clause. Whether you are talking about the GSP schemes or the EU's Everything But Arms initiative, the little that has been taken home that we are making progress is that we have this preferential access, that we have this advantage over the competition. But what has been happening in a number of important ways? One, the emergence of regional free trade agreements, where they are the plurilateral, the megalaterals, or smaller ones, have not followed the geography of LDCs. And so at the painstaking negotiation of certain market access is wiped out when the same access is given to much more competitive economies through a new scheme like the TPP. Now, that doesn't say that you are now negative to the TPP. It's just a reality call that the dynamics in the marketplace of trade are substantially impacting on schemes that you considered as important. And that means that you have to start looking at how do you compensate for the weakness and the vulnerability that is resultant on these new dynamics. Similarly, we all know that beyond tariffs, the most dominant challenge that we face as LDCs has been about NTMs. And the discussion about how to deal with that reality has to increasingly become part of our daily discourse. Whether we're talking about the TBTs or SPS, the reality is that beyond the border constraints, certification, sustainability standards, and industry-based new regulations will continue eroding what was appearing to be gained on one hand through multilateral negotiations. The challenge is, how do we deal in a situation where market access is offered in one window, but the erosion is in another window which you cannot negotiate multilaterally, like the standards which are set up by chains of market stores, consumer stores. You cannot bring them to Geneva for negotiation. How do we balance between what is given in Geneva and is taken away by a chain of stores, by traceability requirements that's not subject to any capacity building, resources, or any other such consideration? These are the things that we have to deal with. But I want to finish off with a number of one or two statements of optimism, really. One, regional integration is going to be important for LDCs to learn the ropes of cross-border production linkages that builds competences if they are ever to be competitive in global value chains. I applaud the initiative of the tripartite which was signed in the Sharm el-Sheikh by ESC, COMESA, and SADC a few months ago, and I hope to see momentum on regional initiatives of this nature in other areas of the LDC countries. Because there is no alternative to this as a phenomenon. And two, and finally, LDCs as a category are among the most important beneficiaries of a working multilateral system. The success of WTO and its ministerial rounds is critically important to LDCs, because you are among the very few who have no recourse to plurilateral negotiations. Stalling the multilateral process just means that the theater of making rules is moving elsewhere, but obedience to that rule, those rules will include you. So if you have to be at the table where the rules that affect you are to be, one, you have to start taking on board the issues that are not being ventilated in your locus sufficiently. The hesitation to take on board issues which are forcing others to go into plurilateral negotiations on those issues is part of the erosion of the momentum within the multilateral system. And secondly, the arrival of mega plurilaterals is a wake-up call that when we say no, when I was minister, will come and say, Singapore issues we don't want. This is not part of the original Doha round. So you keep it in the cooler, we'll go elsewhere. Today you say you don't want, Others pick it up and they make rules and they impose also on you. So the choiceless democracy is either you are ready to ride with it or others will create it and you'll come along. The choice is yours. I think significantly, as a native of Kenya, I'll be very glad if on your road to Nairobi, you build a momentum, you seek others also to build the ambition that the core sufficient issues are harvested in Nairobi to enable not only the credibility of this process to continue, but to give you space to take on board urgent new issues that have direct relevance to your economies that are not yet part of the negotiating round. I was just sharing with Roberto that I cannot understand that in 2015, the multilateral rulemaking on trade is not discussing e-commerce. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you very much, Secretary General. Thank you both giving a lot of rich input for the discussion we will have. I think the presence of the heads of both WTO and UNCTAD at this opening session shows the importance you attach to both organizations, to the LDCs. As chair of the LDC subcommittee, I'm aware of what has been done the last 20 years, and Roberto put clearly forward also having a lot of challenge in the future. It's not only to go from 0.5 to 1.1% now, it's how we get it much more, let's say, strengthened. And if we then take on board the goal we put 2020, 2%, that means a 66% increase in 4 years. And that will be an incredible challenge to realize, but also very important we have to do in the context of the also 2030 agenda. Thank you both very much. May I ask the speakers of the first hearing to join me, what means that you have to leave the room, and that was agreed with you. Thank you very much.